There's one. Set for stun.
Three guys sitting in a dark room that smells like bad cucumbers.
Don't make me angry. You wouldn't like me when I'm angry.
Inconceivable!
Now featuring 11 listeners.
This is really geek.
This is the Unique Geek.
And welcome to another edition of the Unique Geek. Issue number, 96, right, Serv?
Yes, 96.
96. What happened to 95, Serv?
You know, 95 was posted, yet not posted. Apparently, it was so vulgar, it was immediately destroyed.
Apparently. Actually, you should hear it at some point.
Probably Windows 95 was so bad that there was a karmic spillover to that episode.
I think that might be it.
It was so vile. That episode was so vile. Kirsten Dunst had it destroyed. Unfortunately, she was the subject of episode 95.
94.
Or 94.
Yes, exactly. Sorry. I think even in 95, I referred to issue number 95 as issue number 94. And I know it drives certain people nuts when we say issue, but that's what I like to call them. So there you go.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah. It's like how British people say series instead of season.
Yes, exactly. It's how nerds say podcast episode as issue instead of podcast episode. Anyway, hey, so I'm John, your host as at least 90, what? four times out of 100 out of 95. But joining me on the phone that you've already heard is Serv, how you doing?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm fine. Thank you for asking, sir. That's very gentlemanly of you to ask.
You know, I try and be a gentleman even on the podcast, except when I say God damn it or fuck. Oh, man.
And we will never hear you say those words. And, of course, the original, the one, the only, the OG, O-T-H-U-G, Ed.
Ahoy, hoy.
How you doing, Ed?
Wunderbar.
All right. Also, piping in a little earlier, you heard him, the not lawyer in residence, because then he could get in trouble for saying that, Ron. Ron, how you doing?
Hello.
And last, but certainly not least, the man in the Adidas gi, the European tracksuit, the Lex Luthor of podcasting, the most dangerous man in podcasting, Gary. Gary, how you doing?
I'm doing so good, there ought to be a law against it.
I think you're lying to me.
Yeah. But hey, I got bored, so I can't be too bad.
So, I mean, what's been going on lately in the geek world? I mean, there's not been any technology news, certainly. Nothing news.
It's,
come up.
Technology is dead.
Let's talk about Glee.
Okay, if you really wanna.
No,
say course. What you will, but Santana is the hottest one on the show.
Hell yes.
I agree.
Yeah, because she puts out too. That's the best part. Anyway,
that's the kid in the wheelchair, right?
Oh.
No, it's other Asian guy.
And by the way, though, the people they really should be focusing on in that show, not that we really should be talking about Glee, but whatever, is the band, the people, the band. The bands know every single song ever written, and they can play it perfectly.
Well, what about the, because I've only seen the first season. Have they spoken about the guy that always plays piano that knows every song?
Yeah, they've actually played off of that before. The running joke is, oh, he's always there.
Well, see, what it is that is the universe, you know, from Buffy the Vampire Slayer, the Once More Feeling universe, where the that character gets invoked and everyone starts dancing and singing. This is where he comes from.
Ah, gotcha. Mm-hmm. Wow. And way to pull it back into the Unique Geek there, Ron.
Yeah.
To pull it all back together. Now, but seriously, yesterday, as of the recording of this, so that means probably like 3 weeks ago, for those of you listening.
2011.
It was in 2011. Apple made a little announcement, and it actually made me want to purchase another Apple product for the first time in my life. Ed, you want to talk about what they announced? And then we'll go into some comparisons.
What was it called? The iMaxiPad or something like that?
Mm-hmm. Oh, now it's in white, which I just now thought of.
Yeah, iPad 2.
Yes, of course, the iPad 2.
Well, I mean, that's everybody's, and of course, is going to hear about this. But actually, more recent is that the iPad 1 is going to be dropped in price. $100 less.
Not only that, but if you've bought an iPad within the past 2 weeks, you get a $100 refund.
Oh, that's actually nice. Pretty cool.
Now, does that mean if I go out today and buy it for... Oh, no, I guess not, because it's already lowered the price. Yeah.
Now, if you go out and buy it today, you get $100 knocked off the price.
Is there any way
that's the first generation that it...
Is there any way that it would actually benefit Apple to let you trade in your old iPad for like $100 off a new one?
You know, it probably would benefit them because they could just sell it as refurb for, you know, what do they sell? They sell refurbs for $350, right? Currently.
Depending on the model.
Probably.
I mean, the base model. The base model,
Probably somewhere around there, yeah.
So, I mean, yeah, if you only want $100 for it, but you'd be foolish to do that when you can go to places like, Gazelle? You could sell it at Gazelle, or you could sell it on eBay for at least $300. So, I mean, you wouldn't really want to give it to them for $100 off. But anyway, so like I kind of alluded to, I'm not a big Apple fanboy by any stretch of the imagination, but I actually think, and we'll talk about this too, is in comparison to some of the other options that are available that, I don't know, I guess kind of appeal to me a little bit more because they're not Apple. But I'm not an Apple fanboy, but I think that the price and the hardware yesterday actually kind of met finally. The previous version of the iPad, the biggest issue I had with it was it was overpriced. I still thought that $400 for the base model was overpriced because the hardware wasn't all that impressive, right? The idea, the mythos of it was pretty cool, but the hardware didn't seem to match up with the price. What are your thoughts there, Carrie?
I disagree. I currently own one of the first generations. I've got a 32-gig model, and I use the hell out of it. I use it for work. I use it for media consumption, for personal use, for communication. I've used it, the Skype on it, to participate in one of the podcasts in the past. Fantastic device. I don't feel that it was overpriced at all. And something that I do think is missed out on is that it's not necessarily aimed solely at our demographic. You would figure that a new and shiny gadget would be primarily aimed at the tech savvy, the geeks out there. And that's not necessarily the case. Some people were complaining about the new iPad not being evolutionary enough. It doesn't have enough bells and whistles. It doesn't offer some of the things that the other tablets are going to, like an HDMI out built into it or an SD card slot built into it. The focus of the device is no longer the specs. Once upon a time with computers, that was the whole thing. Everybody wanted to one-up you on how powerful the processor was, how fast the hard drive was spinning. Now it's primarily the user interface, the experience. Even on my first one, that thing is slick. And it's only got 256 meg worth of internal memory. It doesn't bog down. I don't have a problem with it. It works fluidly. It's a fantastic device. And the new one's even more so. So I think the only reason that you would really need to upgrade is if you're going to do any video editing on it. Beyond that, the current specs are plenty powerful enough to run it exactly like it is.
What about you, Ed? What are your thoughts?
Well, I wouldn't say that I'm not an Apple fan. I mean, Jesus, I own a MacBook. I love my MacBook. I'd love to have an iMac. I've owned several versions of the iPod and the iPhone. The iPad, I don't think it is overpriced for the average consumer. I think Carrie even touched on it a little bit, and I kind of agree with him on that. But as far as the tech geek and me, I think it is overpriced. Matter of fact, most of the tablets that are out these days, the good tablets, are overpriced. I'm more inclined to buy something of the Android nature that's a little bit more open, that I can actually do something with it without being tied to iTunes and at least Apple in all its glory. I like the openness of Android, and that's what I prefer. But even there, again, on that side, I think we were going to kind of touch on it, was the new sensation of the Motorola Zoom. Even though it's has some pretty decent specs on it, I still think that's overpriced too. Especially,
I think it's way overpriced.
I mean, maybe I'm wrong in saying this, but I'm of the opinion that since Android is based off of an open operating system that you don't have to pay for, the price of those devices should be much, much less.
Well, I would counter that with the iOS was already developed with the iPhone, so it was already in place, and it's an in-house operating system for Apple, so in essence, the only cost there is overhead. So for the iPad, it's pretty much a cost-free operating system there, too.
Well, but see, again,
you've got other developers using Android, so that would be like the cost overhead Dell has to pay for installing Windows on their system. You know, Apple doesn't have to face that.
But I guess on their side, that they're more of a hardware company anyway, so they're going to overprice their products.
Yeah, well, because they can. They've always had the market strategy of being an industry leader in quality, perception of brand. You're getting the best on the market. Whether you are or not, that's the impression. So they're going to charge a premium.
Yeah, I just, again, as far as on the Android side, I just like the fact that I can tinker with it. I can root it. I can put my own custom ROM that I have found, of course not one that I've done, but one that I can find out there that's freely available, whereas with the iPad or any other Apple products, you really can't do that unless, you jailbreak the iPhone, but I like to be able to tinker with my devices.
And while I would not necessarily buy an Android device, not only because I played around with a few of them, and to me the interface is kind of clumsy, and it doesn't have the same infrastructure support across all devices and the support of media and apps. But I still think they're a fantastic idea. I'm excited about the Android devices coming out because the market needs competition. Competition drives innovation. I don't think we would have had an iPad 2 probably for another year if there weren't a wealth of Android devices coming out.
I probably concur with you. Has anybody actually held and touched the Zoom yet?
I don't think on this call. We did have someone on our listserv, Jim. He actually made a comment today that he has played around with it, and he was not impressed.
Really?
And he's actually a techie.
Really? Because everyone that I've heard of that has touched the Zoom has been completely impressed and thinks it's even snappier than the iPad. But where is that?
You tell them, John.
Oh, maybe it's listserv.theuniquegeek.com. That'll get you there. Anyway, so you're right. There is a plethora of new tablets coming out. Hey, Ron, do you have any intention of buying an iPad or iPad 2 anytime in the near future?
Wait. I gotta wake up now. Okay. What are you guys talking about? That was my indication that I was really bored during all that talk.
Sure.
Actually, it looks kind of neat then, as to talking about that it's not necessarily targeted our demographic. Two of the women that I work with have them, and they just carry them around everywhere. Like, when we go to lunch, they bring their freaking iPad with them, which is like a new accessory. And one's in her 50s, the other she's in her 30s, but definitely not geeks by any stretch of the imagination. And even the 50-year-old, she got her mother a iPad, and they can like play games with each other, and they communicate with that way a lot. And I guess now with the new one having the two video camera thing. I don't know. Does the iPad 1 have a front video camera on it?
No.
Okay. Yeah, so this is even a way for people to communicate, you know, more easily. So
I would agree with some of the industry criticism that this is more of an evolutionary step than revolutionary. It's still essentially the same device. It's not tremendously different. The camera doesn't add any value to me because I'm not really going to video chat with anyone, but it's a nice addition. It's just taking the place of the former one and keeping pace with the industry standard. But I still think that it's got just a tremendous lead on the rest of the market in the interface and the support network behind the device. Like you said, Ron, you've got people from all walks of life that can grab one of these things and use them with almost no learning curve. My mother, who is incredibly technophobic, picked up an iPhone and within a day or two was able to use it like a champ. Got a coworker that his 5-year-old son sat down and was able to play Angry Birds almost immediately. And yet I can use it for things like productivity. You can use it for photo editing. There's several other, I use it for cardiology specific things, for calculations, for review of images. From tests that I do, that it did just show that it can be a very powerful device. Now, as Ed mentioned, you've got to play in Apple's playground. If you don't, then you're probably out in the cold. You've got to jailbreak it. You've got to do something unusual. But that's the only advantage Android has to me. And to be honest, I'm not really interested in jailbreaking it. I'm happy playing in the area that they want me to play in. And in that circumstance, or from that perspective, it couldn't be a better device. I like the fact that I have quick and ready access to so much media, whether it's television rentals. And since I've cut my satellite dish cable, I'm excited by the fact that I'm able to get some stuff via iTunes. I'm going to buy a season pass to Walking Dead. Handbrake is a great thing. Now I've got all the movies I could ever want because of Netflix. I got streaming video, got audio. Everything is right there. The only thing I don't have is I don't have the 3G, so I don't have internet anywhere I go, but I'm around Wi-Fi almost all the time. So for my uses, man, I couldn't ask more from it.
John, your thoughts?
Well, my thought is that, like I said, it made me actually want to finally buy an iPad 2. Now, here's the thing. I am looking at... I have been looking at like maybe the Zoom, but I agree with you, Ed, that Zoom is just incredibly expensive. I don't get why it's so expensive, besides the fact that, you know, they want to make money, lots of money.
Well, here's the reason. Well, here's the other reasons I think of too, and I'll let you finish. But I think also number one, of course, it is the first tablet to run Honeycomb. It is basically the first with a dual processor. So it's going. That's kind of one of the, those are the reasons I think is the reason why they can get away with charging so much, even though there are some idiots out. Despite the fact there are some idiots out there who are paying that much for it, I think as the year progresses and Honeycomb becomes a little bit more mature, we will start seeing more devices with Honeycomb with pretty much the same specs that maybe. Price lower for competition wise, so I think that's one of the reasons why Motorola did come out with it so high is because they can get away with it.
I would tend to agree. Even the iPad itself, I've seen a breakdown of the materials cost to manufacture those things costs them 200 some odd bucks.
Well, remember
so they've got a pretty healthy profit margin on the iPad alone. I still think Motorola is they should have cut the price. And from what I've read, they actually have cut the price. What was it? One of the discount stores, whether I don't know, it's CompUSA or Sam's, was going to have the Wi-Fi only version on sale for $550, $540, somewhere in there. That's a better price. I still wouldn't be interested in the device personally, but that's more competitive.
I'd be interested simply because it is Android, and as I said before, I'm a Android fanboy. So, you know, I think I mentioned it before on the previous podcast that the next phone I'm going to buy my wife, now that because we're on Verizon, I can't stand AT&T, and now that the iPhone is there, is that I will buy her an iPhone simply because of what Ron hinted at and Carrie hinted at, which is that, well, not hinted at, they basically said, it's easy to use. And even though my wife loves her Aeris, which is, you know, kind of a really low-powered Android phone to begin with, she gets frustrated with it easily. So I know with the iPhone, at least, it's going to be straightforward. It's not going to be too complicated, and I won't have to hear the sighs every time, you know, it slows down a little bit. So there's that. Serve, are you planning on buying any tablet or any sort of technology, period?
Well, last year around Dragon Con time, I did hurtle into the 21st century of smartphones. I got rid of a Motorola Razr and went to a Droid X. So a little bit of a technology whiplash going on there, but I'm not planning on getting a new phone anytime soon. And since to be then, honest,
the only thing he has done with a Droid X is make telephone calls.
I keep hearing there's this feature called texting, and I might try and look into that later, but not right now.
And then after that, you can look into sexting with me there, sir.
Interesting. Very interesting. But to be honest, the tablet market does not evoke any interest in me. I've got some friends that had the original iPad, and I've kind of, you know, played around with theirs. But I don't know. It just seems like an iPod for elderly people. You know, they have to have giant buttons on their phone and whatnot. So it just kind of strikes me as, I don't know, sort of pathetic. I'd rather just have a laptop.
You know, the one thing that there's a friend of mine who he's a musician, and he was contemplating today, and he actually asked, should I go iPad 2 or should I just go ahead and get a new laptop, because he wants to replace his laptop. And he said basically the only thing he uses is email, web, and a couple of various other little things, but no actual applications per se. And he also does some recording on his, well, with GarageBand, of course, because they're offering GarageBand. I said, well, you know, the iPad 2 seems like the way you want to go. Go for an iPad 2. Except the one thing I remembered today as I was driving back home was, you still need a computer.
Yes, you do.
Yep.
And it floored me as I was coming home. I was like, wait a minute. He still needs a computer. He can't get rid of his laptop. He's still going to need his laptop in order to synchronize the damn thing.
Mm-hmm.
Because he's like, oh, well, where would I put my photos? I said, well, first of all, you're not going to be using your iPad to take photos. I don't care who you are. You're not even going to be using it to take video.
Any tablet to take pictures.
You would look absolutely ridiculous. I mean, maybe you'll take a picture of yourself looking at the screen. Maybe. You know, there'll be three or four photos that you'll ever take with that thing, but and you're not going to use it to record video. It's excellent for, you know, with having the front and back facing cameras. It'd be excellent for conferencing and video conferencing and things like that. But as far as from an actual, I'm going to record this type thing, it seems like a ridiculously large piece of equipment to be carrying around for that. But anyway, I said, so, you know, you don't have to worry about your film or your film. Yes, I live in the 1980s. No, you don't have to worry about your photos, because you're going to still be carrying around a camera or your phone. You don't really have to worry about video. So maybe your music. And I said, oh, you can just put your music on there. But it didn't dawn on me at the time. He still needs that stupid computer.
Well, and honestly, the only thing you really would need the computer for is if you want to load any media on it and if you want to update the operating system. Other than that, you can get apps from the cloud. You can update your apps from the cloud. You can load and unload data. If you want to load in pictures from a camera, get the camera attachment dongle that goes in the 30-pin slot. So you can almost transcend the computer, but not completely. The day they allow you to upgrade the operating system via Wi-Fi, then you won't need a computer anymore.
Well, can you charge it without plugging it in?
Yes, you can.
Okay, I wasn't sure if they...
You're going to plug it in, but you can, just like the iPhone, you can plug it in via a wall adapter.
Okay, but you're going to have to buy the wall adapter, right?
No, it comes with it.
Oh, okay. Well, that's pretty cool. All right, so maybe... He doesn't have an issue, but he still does have all these...
And as far as what your friend was saying, I would also have recommended the iPad in that my use for the iPad as opposed to something like a laptop, if you're using it for primarily for things like media consumption, it really is better than a laptop. Weighs a pound and a half. The newer one weighs even less than that. There are no vent ports to block. I used to like to watch movies in bed with my laptop. I had to be careful with how the blankets laid around the laptop, because you plug those holes up, that thing's going to get burning hot very shortly. Laptop will. The iPad, I can change it any angle. I can lay it however I want to. The battery is going to last forever. I can charge it once, and it's going to last at least a day, usually 2 days on that single charge.
It's great for porn. I mean,
yeah, the solid cover in the front, you can wipe it off.
Yes. I mean, maybe.
So, hey, if you really want to do a lot of word processing, pony up from one like a Zag case that has a physical keyboard, Bluetooth keyboard built into it. You can type like a fiend.
Okay, cool. Well, that's good to know. Hey, Ed, real quick, did you send me a picture?
Yes.
Okay, I wanted to make sure that it wasn't some sort of... I'm almost afraid to open it.
Oh, it's funny how techie... Okay, it's not funny, actually. Yeah, you're wise there, John.
Well, you know, I didn't want to. I thought maybe you had been hijacked and sent me something. Anyway, he had actually sent me a picture of Android fighting the Apple. All right, so we're gonna move on to probably something a little more topical. Anybody watch? Just from the standpoint of general pop culture, anybody watch the Academy Awards?
Yes.
Yes.
I saw some of it.
Thoughts? Let's start with you, Serv. Winners, losers, who do you think should have won? Who'd you?
I think the right movie won for Picture of the Year. I think King's Speech was fantastic. I hadn't seen all the entrants. I had seen King's Speech. I had seen Social Network. I had seen Inception. But I
couldn't stand Inception, by the way.
You could not?
No, I mean, I think I've said this before. I think the story was fantastic. The directing was mostly fantastic. But in the end, I did not care what happened to Leonardo DiCaprio. I just don't like his acting, period. And in the end, I just really didn't care about his character. I was just like, whatever.
Well, I think it won for the right categories. It won, you know, Inception won for what, art direction and
I think cinematography,
cinematic effects or something?
Yeah, I think it was cinematography, wasn't it?
Maybe it was. Which, I, you know, with some of those scenes, it really should have. And so I think it won appropriately there. But what I was going to say is that, you know, a lot of people are saying that the Social Network should have won Best Picture. But I didn't see that as being that great a movie. I mean, it was fine. I'm glad I saw it. I don't know what all the raving, incredibly happy people are about this movie. It's just another movie. It wasn't that great.
I would disagree. It's a dichotomy of newer and older film styles. King's Speech was an emotionally appealing movie. It's a traditional storyline. You have a crisis. It gets worse. You have a climax and then a happy ending.
Well, I mean,
Social Network was far more intellectually stimulating. It was an actual story. Well, it had a climax to it, but there was more development. There wasn't the traditional happy ending.
It
was more emotionally complex than King's Speech. Now, they were both fantastic movies, and I don't have any issue with King's Speech winning, but ultimately I thought Social Network was a better film.
Yeah, but hold on a second. Both of them... Well, okay, let's... King's Speech was 95% actual reality of something that happened.
It's a dramatization, but yeah, based on something that actually happened.
I mean, there's
and there's Social Network.
Social Network was 50% of what really happened.
Well, yeah. We don't know how much of it was dramatization and how much of it wasn't. But then again,
most of it is. It was drama. I mean, it was not actual events.
According to the participants,
yes.
the key points that occurred actually occurred, but the reactions of the individuals. Yeah. Cannot be neither confirmed nor denied, I suppose.
Even if it were completely fictional, it's still a more intellectually challenging film in the way that certain Asian and European cinema is more intellectually challenging than your typical American movie, because American movies tend to be more formulaic.
Oh, I see. You're one of those people.
Yes, I am.
Well, okay, sir. I'm sorry. We cut you off. But what else about the Academy Awards? We'll get back to the Social Network in a minute.
Well, I feel that the right actor won for best actor. Who was Portman? Won for Black Swan. Yeah, I didn't see Black Swan. Dr. Jen saw Black Swan and said it was fantastic.
I would agree with Dr. Jen. Okay. Not for everybody, but that movie was just fantastic.
I haven't seen it either. Ron, have you seen it?
Yeah, and I'm going, meh. I don't get why. Maybe if I understood ballerina dancing more, but was she a great dancer or not a great dancer? I don't know.
Well, wait a minute.
Ballerina dancing. Don't they call that ballet?
I don't know.
Ballerina girl.
I want to stop everyone here for a sec. And yes, I may be one of the movie geeks here on this call, but believe it or not, I haven't seen most of these movies. So don't give away too much, please. Thank you.
Okay. Well, I did want to say this, though. That's a good point, Ed. Because a lot of people haven't seen Black Swan. A lot of people haven't seen King's Speech.
Does he learn how to talk at the end?
I think everybody knows has seen Inception, right? You've seen Inception,
yes,
though.
Yes, I've seen. That's the only one of the Oscar
nominations.
I've seen all of them but 127 Hours.
Yeah, I didn't see 127 Hours either. I think
I have no interest in seeing that.
Ed, you didn't see Toy Story 3?
Oh, yeah, that's right, yeah.
Well, it was nominated for Best Picture. It was nominated for Best...
No, it was nominated for Best Picture as well.
Yeah.
Yeah, because they increased
the category.
Yeah. You're right. Sorry. But anyway, what was I going to say? Now, I haven't seen Black Swan, but in those of you that have seen Black Swan, maybe you can answer this. Widge was saying over at Need Coffee was saying that it was essentially a horror film masked as a psychological thriller. Is this true?
Yeah, kind
of. No, Black Swan, not really. More of a drama masked as a psychological thriller.
Hmm. Okay.
I wouldn't say horror film at all.
Not a horror film. Yeah, I wouldn't say horror film at all.
Okay. All right. That's all I had to say. I haven't seen it, so I don't know how... We had this discussion last night. My hypothesis was the reason why she won Best Actress was because she had to deal with George Lucas for three films... Three really crappy films, and everyone felt sorry for her. No? Yes?
I wouldn't say no, but yeah, she really earned it in Black Swan.
From what I understand, in one scene, she really earned it.
Yeah.
Actually, she should have been nominated way back in The Professional.
She did a good job in The Professional, yeah.
You know, I would not disagree with that.
Hmm. And the other discussion about that was that she also was kind of out of type in that film, so that's kind of why she may have also gotten a lot of respect from actors. So,
I will say she played
one of the best neurotics I've seen in a long time.
Hmm. Have you met Ed?
Hello, I'm not a ballerina yet.
Sir, any other comments on Academy Awards?
No. I can't really remember who won supporting actor and actress, but...
I think they were both from The Fighter, which I don't think anybody has seen
either.
It was Christian Bale for The Fighter, and that was a slam dunk.
And Michelle, whatever her name is.
Did you see The Fighter, Carrie?
Yeah.
And?
Thoroughly enjoyed it. Great movie.
How was Mark Wahlberg in it? Because
he actually was the weakest point in the film.
Hmm. I mean, it was his production coming together, maybe
it was a limitation of the character itself, but he was kind of whiny, kind of weak. Amy Adams did a great job. She's smoking hot. Was really believable in her character. Christian Bale is frightening. He's getting to be. I can't remember the guy's name, but he's getting into Daniel Day-Lewis category of it. He's getting that good at it.
I don't think I've ever actually seen a Daniel Day-Lewis movie.
You haven't even seen Last of the Mohicans?
Nope.
That was
My Left Foot?
Daniel Day-Lewis, right? Yeah.
Nope.
You need to see my left foot.
There will be blood.
Nope.
There's my left foot.
Gangs of New York.
Nope.
Wow, you're missing out. Get a Netflix account. Stock up.
Don't see Gangs of New York because it has crappy
Leonardo DiCaprio
in it.
Only criticism I heard that I almost for a moment I thought maybe they've got a point is even though Social Network's Trent Reznor deserved the Oscar for best soundtrack, someone said that Daft Punk should have gotten the nod or at least gotten a mention for the Tron soundtrack.
Oh, indeed, I agree.
Well, it may have been the only thing that was worthy of a nomination in that film because the effects weren't all that fantastic.
Oh, yeah.
I will point out though that they are re-releasing the original Tron in Blu-ray the beginning of April. So
yep, great, another movie I get to see again that all I remember was the fantastic effects in the first one and no story, just like the second one.
Exactly,
I remember the
like
effects
the
and I have no idea what the story was about.
That's because there was no story.
There you go.
So it goes along with like episodes one through three of Star Wars.
It was visual junk food. Just sit there, veg out, and enjoy it.
You mean episodes 1 through 3, 1 soon to be in 3D?
Oh, what? Away.
3D, you don't say.
I can't believe it. You're telling me that Lucas is trying to rape us even more?
I know. Just when you thought there wasn't an orifice he couldn't penetrate.
You know, the thing is, though, you can't rape the willing, so...
Well, I'm leaving my theatrical chastity belt on. He ain't getting any more of my money.
I'll go see Empire. If Empire's on the big screen, I'm going. I mean, honestly, well, I'd see Star Wars Empire in Return.
Will you see the new Return?
Whatever the thing is I haven't read too much about... Well, I guess there hasn't been too much information yet, but is it going to be the original theatrical version, or is it going to be the redo of the redo of the redo of the redo of the redo?
Sure, it's going to be as most flashy up-to-date. I've put the most BS into this version that you're going to see, but it's also going to be in 3D. So, you know, maybe he'll even add some more shit for you.
Okay. See, the thing is if it was going to be the original theatrical version, no addition or whatever except for the 3D, I could possibly consider seeing it. But if it's going to be the redo of the redo of the director's cut of the director's cut of the special edition of the redo, I'm not going to bother.
So an Empire? You wouldn't go see Empire?
No.
So what you're saying is if Greedo shoots first, or if Greedo doesn't shoot, well, if Greedo does shoot first, you're out.
Yep.
Okay.
If Greedo shoots at all, as much as I love the original trilogy, he has beaten that dead horse so much that it's nothing but a red mist. It's dead. It's gone. Let's move on.
Red mist, speaking of which, there is rumor that they will be making a Kick-Ass 2.
Oh, it's more than a rumor.
Yeah.
They're
filming. Yeah, they're working on it.
Well, they aren't filming it yet. No, because what's-his-nose that played Red Mist was just saying that the problem is right now is that...
There's no story left to tell?
Well, there is no story.
No, they're releasing issues for the Kick-Ass already.
The comic book?
The girl, Hit Girl. Hit Girl is so busy right now with her schedule that they can't find a place for her. Basically, they got to figure out it's going to be a couple years, maybe a year or two before they can actually get her to come back.
I'm surprised they got the guy that played the main character to come back because he really didn't want to do superhero flicks.
He really likes money, I'm sure.
Mm-hmm.
Well, no, they offered him, I believe it was the role of Spider-Man, and he turned it down.
Well, I mean, he probably doesn't want to be typecast. Now the guy who played Kick-Ass, it's really a anti-superhero, though, isn't it? I mean, it is a superhero, but it's not like he is super, you know what I mean?
He's a vigilante.
Vigilante, yeah. There you go.
Yeah, but even then, he's still a high school kid, right? I mean, it's
costume vigilante. I mean,
I guess my point is that it's not a traditional superhero film, right? I mean, am I wrong there?
Not in the sense of Iron Man or Thor or X-Men.
But it is in the sense of, I don't know, Batman, maybe?
Maybe Batman.
Yes, costume vigilante.
Right, but he's not nearly as skilled as Batman because obviously
of course not. But it's still costume vigilante.
your Batman character died in Kick-Ass, so
yeah,
that was pretty gruesome.
No spoilers, but anyway, if you're listening to this podcast and you haven't seen Kick-Ass, stop listening to this podcast.
If you're listening to this podcast and you haven't seen Kick-Ass, I need to put in a spoiler alert that Vader is Luke's father.
And also, hey, who here has seen Scott Pilgrim?
Yeah. Yes, that was a good movie. Yeah.
Everybody has, right?
I finally saw it a couple months ago. And,
yeah, that was a good flick.
I liked that movie a lot.
By the way, I didn't like it at all.
Not nominated for anything.
It was gloriously quirky.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, that's what was...
I gotta go back to Serve. Serve, you didn't like it at all?
No, I didn't.
Were you...
Loved the movie, loved the soundtrack.
It was just...
How many brownies did you have?
Playing consistently to break the fourth wall all the time, and it's like, really?
So?
Yeah, right.
But that's kind of his shtick.
It's a stylistic piece, and I understand that,
Shakespeare used it, too.
Well... But he didn't use it every 4 minutes like clockwork.
No, you might be... Well, I think in Julius Caesar he might have. I think he might have. I mean, the chorus constantly was in your face in Julius... Anyway, that's a theater nerd thing. So you didn't like that. But that's Edgar Wright's thing, though, isn't it? I mean, that's... Breaking the fourth wall is kind of his shtick. I mean, breaking the fourth wall. I mean, he doesn't really ever, you know.
But I don't have to
like it. Plays to the fans, if you will. I guess you don't, but you like Shaun of the Dead, right?
I do.
You liked Hot Fuzz?
Hot Fuzz. Okay. I did not like Hot Fuzz.
Broke the fourth wall.
Oh, you didn't like Hot
Scott
Fuzz.
Pilgrim.
Okay.
Maybe that's it. I didn't particularly like Zombieland. I thought the thing I liked most about Zombieland was Woody Harrelson's character's name.
Well, what was it? I forget.
Dirty Little Town.
Tallahassee, wasn't it?
State Champion Town.
Yeah. All right. Anybody got any other topics they want to talk about before we go into our top three? No? Nothing?
Blade Runner? Prequel? Sequel?
No, please. No, we don't want to talk
about
that.
Oh, yeah, let's talk about that because it'll torture Ed.
Oh,
hey, Ron, have you heard about this?
Yeah.
Do you, Serve, you want to go into it? Who wants to go into it?
I think Serve.
Well, it was announced that, I guess, the studio that had the rights to Blade Runner has sold them. And the acquiring company has decided that they're going to do another Blade Runner movie, but they haven't decided whether they're going to do a sequel Blade Runner movie or if they're going to do a prequel.
All right, if we have to talk about this,
I want to get closer to my screen so I can see when Ed starts crying. All right, go ahead.
If we must talk about this,
Ed, lean forward a little bit more so we can see whether or not that vein's popping out of your forehead.
I don't. Matter of fact, let me turn off the lights so you won't see the tears. Actually, they did mention that they really don't. I mean, yes, they would like to make a sequel. Yes, they would like to make a prequel, but they really don't know for sure yet if it's actually going to happen.
See, if you pay so that kind worse. Of money for the rights. You're putting something out.
This is so much worse because this is like getting an anonymous call from someone saying, you know, I'm going to rape you, but I'm not going to tell you when or how.
That was me, by the way, Carrie. I didn't mean for it to be anonymous. No one would ever rape Carrie because that's just a bad idea.
Here's the thing. Here's what I'm hoping would come out of this that this purchase has been made, is actually that they would actually start selling merchandise from the movie. That's what I'm hoping for, and that's all I'm hoping for.
What do you want?
What are you missing from your?
Well, I've never bought.
I saw you have the umbrella now.
An actual blaster replica.
And that's what you really want?
That's exactly what I really want.
Have you gone on Etsy? I'm sure someone's made it on Etsy.
Oh, yeah, they have. Well, there's tons of people who have made them. I mean, but they're not... I mean, they're...
They're not official enough for you?
Exactly. There you go. They're not official.
They weren't on set. Well, I mean, Jesus, you could get an epoxy resin one at Geek Fest for probably $80.
Yeah, I've seen the one. Dragon Con, they've had the same model makers there every time I've gone who have a replica, and it looks like crap.
There's just no satisfying you as a red. No.
It's the prop from the film set.
I would agree with Ed and expound on it in the fact that there's no way they can make a sequel because part of the charm of a movie is not knowing.
Well, here's the thing. It also automatically disqualifies it for issue number 93, where we just determined that it was the best non-sequel film, science fiction, or geek film, rather, ever.
That gets thrown out.
Yeah.
I don't want... There's no more story there. I don't want them to tell me anymore. And I can't see much in the way of a prequel there unless they create more stuff, a whole cloth, which it'd kind of...
Based completely on the replicants.
Yeah, and I don't want that because it pollutes the idea of the movie.
Besides, didn't they cover this all in Surrogates anyway?
Was it also Caprica? Isn't that kind of fun? Caprica.
Yes, there you go.
And for a sequel, that was The Matrix.
Right? All right, so we're going to move on to our topic for our top three, which in this case happens to be bottom three, which is the... What was it? It was the three worst sci-fi adaptions. I don't think that's a word. It is now. Adaptions. I'm Charlie Sheen of this podcast. Adaptions is now a word, and pound winning. No one gets that, do they? He's start. Never mind. Forget it. Charlie Sheen is winning. Of course, he'll be, again, as Ron points out.
Is that like the terrorists? Dead. You know, if you cry, the terrorists are winning or something?
Yes, exactly. So the three worst book adaptions to film, sci-fi related. I'm going to, by the way, adaptions. Adaptions. I said it again. Adaptations. Adaptions.
This is adaptions. This be the grammar podcast.
Anyway, I'm going to use the word sci-fi, the category sci-fi, loosely in one of my three, but we'll get to that when we get to that. Who wants to go first? No one?
I didn't actually prepare for this, so not me.
So you'll go last?
I don't think any of us did, to be perfect.
Yeah, because I haven't read any sci-fi books that have been adapted to a movie, so...
Well, the only one that came to mind as soon as I saw the topic was Hitchhiker's Guide.
Ooh.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, okay. There you go.
And we're done.
Yeah.
Wow. I didn't even think of Hitchhiker's Guide.
But am I right? The only one. As soon as I read the category, I was like, yeah, that's it. That's the winner.
That's the only book I've read that's been adapted to a movie as far as sci-fi.
I never read Battlefield Earth.
That's what I was going to suggest. Does it matter if the original sucked pond water too?
I don't know. Was the movie worse than the book?
Allegedly, yeah. Because at least the book you could close.
Well,
movie you could walk out of.
Ron, didn't you read Battlefield Earth?
No, I never actually read it. I have heard some people say that it's actually really good. Even people who hated the movie.
And that person was Tom Cruise.
Yeah,
Ron's only ever read Dianetics, right?
Yeah.
Wow, we're going to get ourselves in trouble.
again?
Got to be careful. All right, so.
Oh no, I got another one for you.
All right, go ahead.
iRobot.
I actually enjoyed iRobot.
Oh boy.
Well, compared to the book,
It wasn't an adaptation. It was just loosely based on the title of something else.
You mean an adaption?
That too.
Well, I have another one.
Okay, go ahead.
What was the Will Smith?
I am Legend.
Like a vampire
I am Legend.
I am Legend.
I like that movie
too. Omega Man.
Which is basically.
The I Am Legend story was so much better than the movie.
Yeah.
So those are my three.
How about Maximum Overdrive?
What?
I know it's technically a horror in the horror genre, except for the fact that, you know, things come alive.
I haven't read that one.
No? No one? Okay.
I'm surprised you haven't read it, Ed.
No, I haven't read that one yet.
Well, you read most all of his stuff.
So. Actually, I mean, I guess maybe if we're going to go, if we're going to look at Stephen King sci-fi, Lawnmower Man kind of sticks out
there. Oh, well, yeah. Although, I was about to say, most of the recent adaptions of his works,
adaptations?
Other than The Mist, are all pretty bad.
Yeah, The Mist was awesome.
What were you thinking about Bicentennial Man?
Bicentennial Man was horrid.
But I never read the book.
I only got through a little bit of the novel. Is it even a novel? I don't even know if it's a full novel.
I mean, if we want to expand it to comics, that opens up just a plethora of movies.
Well, that's where my last one of the three, because actually Bicentennial Man was my was my second one. The League of Extraordinary Gentlemen was the last one, which
okay,
where
if
I was
you
kind
want to count that, yeah.
Vaguely science fiction, since you know they all kind of you know it was really based on a comic book, but because so many of them came from science fiction, the characters came from science fiction. I kind of categorized it in that area, be it the Invisible Man, Captain Nemo, yada yada.
Or,
no, they even called Captain Nemo the science pirate.
Yes.
So.
The science pirate.
So those were my three. Let's go ahead and open it up to comic books too, if you guys can think of something off the top of your head.
Daredevil?
Oh yes. Good one.
I enjoyed Daredevil. Especially the director's cut.
The movie sucked.
Let's categorize this. How many movies have you hated so far thus out of this list, Ron?
Battlefield Earth, Hitchhiker's Guide.
Okay, Hitchhiker's Guide.
See, I didn't hate Hitchhiker's Guide. I was just disappointed in it.
Yeah, I think I'm
disappointed. Okay,
maybe, yeah.
I'm in the same ballpark as you are there, Kerry.
Yep.
I mean, I was hugely disappointed by it because...
Elektra!
Yeah, Elektra more than Daredevil.
Actually, I liked Elektra.
Well, see... What?
Good Lord.
Yeah,
you are the you're the guy. You're the guy that likes Elektra. I've heard about you.
Mm-hmm.
It was. I thought it was.
I liked it better than Daredevil.
Really?
Yes,
Ed,
even,
did.
Even the director's cut of Daredevil.
I didn't even bother. Why would I even bother even with the director's cut if I didn't like the original?
Since somebody liked Elektra, let's up the ante. Ghost Rider.
Oh, I didn't even bother.
Well, see, those are series. If it was a contained graphic novel, so I think League of Extraordinary Gentlemen counts. But just saying, Daredevil in general, too broad.
So does Watchmen count?
Yes.
Although Watchmen was actually
it was a
fairly decent
Watchmen
film.
Watchmen was fine.
Yeah.
What about I never read V for Vendetta. So how did that translate?
Very disappointing. Not terrible, but disappointing.
If you notice, there seems to be a common thread with all these that we're talking about here. A whacked out, crazy lunatic of a
writer. But yeah, that counts as sci-fi. That's futuristic and post-apocalyptic.
Okay, so let's go back through the list real quick. We have
Battlefield Earth.
Battlefield Earth. Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy. What's the
I am Legend.
I am Legend. I Robot. Two Will Smith films.
I'm surprised that John didn't mention Starship Troopers.
That's right. That's...
I like Starship Troopers though. So
I did too.
I'm ashamed to admit it's a guilty pleasure, but I like Starship.
I'm
Troopers.
Not ashamed. I will say it proudly. I liked Starship
now,
Troopers.
A movie that probably no one has seen, and I really wanted to see until I saw it got about 2% on Rotten Tomatoes. Monsters. Did anyone see even the trailer of this?
Yes, I've seen the trailer. It's in my Netflix queue, but I don't think
it's a great idea. It was a great idea. The idea was a satellite's coming back from outer space, brings spores, alien spores to the planet, and crashes in northern Mexico. and the area becomes contaminated. Giant monsters pop up. It makes a monster zone. It's basically a modern concept of the giant Japanese horror monster movies.
Oh, it's in Netflix Instant Watch.
And is it really? Apparently, yeah. It couldn't have been much worse if you had smeared it with dog poop.
So it is pretty bad?
It's supposed to be awful.
Oh, you haven't seen it?
I have not seen it. I didn't see it just because it got panned so badly. It was a sub 10% on Rotten Tomatoes.
What is it? Well,
it's on Netflix Instant Queue. So,
what is it? What's the rating on
for Monsters? It's rated R.
No, not the rating. The
chart. Yeah, it's got 2.5 stars.
I have 3.5. Huh.
Are you checking the right movie?
Monsters 2010 rated R, 6 years after
average,
Aliens.
Average is 3 stars.
Okay. Yeah, I am looking for Monsters.
Out of 10?
No, out of 5.
Wow. And yet Rotten Tomatoes gave it like a 2%?
Well, actually, I'll take that back because originally it was getting panned hard. Now the audience rates it at 49%.
Oh, okay. Well, that makes it much better. Well, it's still. I think it's still higher
it
than.
From the reviews I read, it got panned really, really, really hard. And for a movie that, when I first saw the trailer, I was thinking, "Yeah, here's a monster approach, a monster retelling of a story similar to District 9," because this was shortly after District 9 came out, and I was really excited by the idea of geek indie movies, because normally indie movies are your typical drama. They're worthy, but it's not a genre I can get as excited about. And it really looked like it had a lot of promise. The trailer looked interesting. I liked the concept. And then it came out and went nowhere.
Much like Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy. Mm-hmm. Actually, here's a review. If you like monsters about, or excuse me, if you like movies about good-looking people having trouble making travel arrangements, then this film is for you. But if you were hoping for monsters that monsters would be about something else, monsters, then you better keep looking.
Here we go, John. The most telling figure of all. Box office take. Anybody want to make a guess?
100,000.
Close. 200,000.
Wow.
Ooh. But I don't think it got a whole lot of marketing, though, too. So.
No, it was pulled from some theaters because it was so badly reviewed.
Interesting. All right, so going back through our list. Crap, I can't remember what we had. I Am Legend.
Hitchhiker's Guide.
Hitchhiker's Guide. Extraordinary, League of Extraordinary Gentlemen, Battlefield Earth.
Elektra and Daredevil, do they count or no?
We've Ron made a judgment. He is the legal advocate for the podcast, and he said that because they are ongoing series, they do not count.
What about the last Snake Plissken movie, Escape from L.A.?
Was that a book?
Based on a book?
No,
I don't think it was.
That was okay. I know Escape from New York wasn't it?
I don't think so.
Bicentennial Man, and I was trying to remember ones that I said. Maximum Overdrive, which is one I said too. Oh, and Lawnmower Man, if we're looking at that.
Can you write these down? Have you heard of a pencil? Yeah.
Okay, hold on.
Type it up on Notepad on your computer.
Yeah, I could do that. All right, so anybody got any other ones that they would like to throw in there?
Wreck my brain.
This will certainly be the definitive list.
Well, what do you have, John?
I already told you. Maximum Overdrive. League of Extraordinary Gentlemen, and somehow I forgot.
Well, here, let me.
Starship Troopers. Somehow I forgot that. And Bicentennial Man was the other one.
You're probably going to be surprised I'm going to say this, but most people who. Most of the, I guess you'd say, the purist of the book, Do Androids Dream of Electric Sheep, will say that Blade Runner was a bad translation.
They do miss out on the whole religious aspect of it. Yeah, when I listened to the audiobook of it, and it was like, well, okay, I don't remember any of this.
I have concurrence to my right. Saying
that it was a horrible translation?
Yes, it's saying that it was a horrible translation. Just as a quick sideline, a quick Google search for a bad sci-fi book to movie.
Yeah.
Number one hit, Battlefield Earth.
Battlefield. Who actually has tried to watch Battlefield Earth? I have tried to watch it.
I tried.
I saw it in the theater.
I saw it in the theater, and I think I fell asleep.
Actually, you know what? Hold on a second. I did see it in the theater. It was released when I was still working at the theater, and I watched the whole thing. I just always forget that I've watched the whole thing. And it was horrid. But I never read the book, so I can't really speak to that. Battlefield Earth. Maximum Overdrive, Blade Runner is now in the running. Bicentennial Man, Omega Man,
I Am Legend,
which is also known as I Am Legend. Hold on, Legend. This is exciting podcasting. The other Will Smith thing, I Robot.
Howard the Duck.
That was a book.
That was a comic.
I don't know that the movie was worse than the comic.
It probably was a pretty faithful adaptation, yeah.
Right. Might have been better.
I saw that in the theater, too.
Battlefield. Jesus. Production companies in America love you, Ron.
Hollywood loves you.
Sorry, I can't all be going to the King's Speech of Academy Award left footness. I got to see me some popcorn. Howard the Duck.
Ron wants to go see movies like Subway, the $5 foot long the movie.
When's that coming out?
All right, let's go ahead and have a final round of judgment here. Let's start with you, Carrie. Your top three of the worst out of this list that we have.
You know what's got to be number one?
Blade Runner.
But you can't vote on your own, right, John?
No, you cannot vote on your own.
Then from what was left over, oh gosh, I'd say Lawnmower Man has to be tops. Then probably Bicentennial Man.
Okay.
And I take that back. League of Extraordinary Gentlemen is worst. Then Lawnmower Man. Then I can't say iRobot because I suggested it.
Right.
Well, and then probably Bicentennial Man.
Okay. All right. How about you, Ed?
Battlefield Earth. I Am Legend. I don't know. Hitchhikers.
Hitchhikers, okay.
Awesome.
Serve.
That's a fucking serve sweep right there.
Serve.
Which sucks because I think all the best ones are mine. How about the Stephen King adaptations, both of those, and
Lawnmower Man and Maximum Overdrive.
Yeah, and I don't know. Was crap. I don't know. I can only come up with two.
Heck, I forgot another one. Dune. I loved that movie, but that's a terrible adaptation.
Do we want to throw Dune in there at the last minute?
Sure, I'll go with Dune.
Okay. Ed, do you wish to change any of your votes now that Dune is in there?
No.
Okay.
Good call, Ed.
But good call, Carrie. Ron.
Was I the only one who said Battlefield Earth?
You may have been the only one. You called it out, so yes.
So, can I...
You can't vote for Battlefield Earth.
Me? Mm-hmm. What were my other options? I didn't write them down.
Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, Battlefield Earth, Blade Runner.
I think I said somebody else said Hitchhiker. I'm sorry.
That was a serve. Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, Battlefield Earth, Blade Runner, Maximum Overdrive, Bicentennial Man, I Am Legend, iRobot, League of Extraordinary Gentlemen, Lawnmower Man, and Dune.
How many do I get to pick?
Three.
League of Extraordinary Gentlemen. I haven't seen Dune all the way through. I should probably do that.
That should tell you something.
And, Bicentennial Man. And what else we got?
Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, Battlefield.
Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy. Okay.
All right. I'm going to go with Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy. I can't go with League of Extraordinary Gentlemen, Lawnmower Man, or Bicentennial Man, or Maximum Overdrive, for that matter. Battlefield Earth. Oh yeah, Battlefield Earth. I don't know. I like the Dune call, but I've never read Dune, so I can't really speak to it.
I'm pretty sure most of us have not read most of these books.
What? If you haven't read the book, then I think that...
First of all, I have read Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy. I have not read Battlefield Earth, but I can only imagine that it's horrible.
I read all my three things.
League of Extraordinary Gentlemen, of course I have read it. Lawnmower Man, I did read. I'm going to vote for iRobot. And I did read iRobot, and I didn't think it was that great. The movie wasn't that great. Although, you could make the argument that it was just kind of vaguely... what do you call it? And by the way, I didn't read it. I actually listened to it. It wasn't entirely... it was a new film. It wasn't necessarily based on the book. I mean, it was based on the book, but it wasn't really based on the book.
Because it wasn't really a book to begin with. It was a bunch of short stories.
Yeah, it was a bunch of short stories. But it called itself iRobot, so therefore it is open for scrutiny. All right, so here we go. We have a four-way tie for second place, but the runaway winner with three whole votes is Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy. Okay, so that's number one. The worst film
I thought there were runoffs. Isn't that how that works?
No, but for the last two places, for the last two places there are, and you can vote for any of these. Hitchhiker's. Let's see. So Battlefield Earth, Bicentennial Man.
By the rules,
they change every week. Even though we don't play every week. Battlefield Earth. Okay, so here are your choices now: Battlefield Earth, Bicentennial Man, League of Extraordinary Gentlemen, and The Lawnmower Man. Out of those, Carrie, give me three.
All of them.
And you can vote for your own too, by the way, this time.
Battlefield Earth is one of the worst movies I've ever seen.
Okay.
And I'm sticking with Lawnmower Man and League.
All right. Ron.
Okay, so now I can pick Battlefield Earth?
Yes.
Okay, that, League, and Bicentennial Man. Is that one of the options still?
Yes. Okay. Ed.
What was the choices again?
Battlefield Earth, Bicentennial Man, League of Extraordinary Gentlemen, Lawnmower Man.
Battlefield Earth, Lawnmower Man, and League.
All right. Serve.
Battlefield Earth, Lawnmower Man, and not League. What was the other one?
Bicentennial Man.
Yeah, Bicentennial Man.
All right, so... One, two,
well,
three.
Well, John
four,
is tabulating
five.
The scores.
Oh, wait, I still got
John Carpenter wrote Escape from New York. It was later converted, or there was a novelization based off the movie, but it itself was not based off of a book.
Isn't that what I said?
I wasn't listening to you. I was researching.
All right, the second place winner is Battlefield Earth, and we have a tie for third place, which is League and Lawnmower Man. Going around, pick one of them, Carrie.
Battlefield Earth.
No, between League of Extraordinary Gentlemen, Lawnmower Man.
League.
Ron.
League. I haven't read Lawnmower Man.
Ed.
Lawnmower Man.
Serve.
Lawnmower Man.
And that leads me to break the tie. I will go with League of Extraordinary Gentlemen. All right, so here we go. Actually, you know what? I'm going to take that back. I'm going to go with Lawnmower Man to stay in the complete, to stay true to the actual initial topic. So here we go. Your top three. Coming in the third place of the three worst sci-fi books. what was I saying earlier?
Adapted.
Adapted? Adaptations. What was I saying earlier? Adaptations? But no. Forget it. Doesn't matter.
Adaptions. Right?
Adaptions, yes. Three adaptions of a book to a film, sci-fi book to a film. Your number three is Lawnmower Man. Number two, Battlefield Earth. Surprisingly, Battlefield Earth. It's just because nobody's read the book.
Well, saying that it was number two is kind of appropriate.
And number one, and I think this is mostly because we were just totally disappointed in it, not because it really was the worst one. But anyway, it is definitive. Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy wins hands down as the worst sci-fi book to film adaptation in all time. So there you go. All right, gentlemen, now is time when we start to say goodbye and we start to go around the horn to discuss things you want to pimp. Let's start with Serve. Serve, what you got going?
I would just say, you know, get on to the Unique Geek listserv. Get on the webpage. Listen to issue 95. Wait, do we have an issue 95?
This is 95, isn't it?
This is 96.
No, this is 96.
Shut up.
You'll probably get 96 before you get 95, but, you know, we'll, you know, check it out. It's good stuff.
Yes? I
guess we're done.
go on, Serve. Anything else?
I'm good.
All right, Ed, what you got going?
Yeah, same thing. Join us on the listserv. We have some pretty good discussions going on there. Also,
I'm very excited about that too.
About.me/Edward Crosby. That's it.
Okay, how about you, Ron?
I got nothing. Talk to you guys later.
Oops. What about you, Carrie?
Couple things. First of all, I have finally succumbed to the dark side and have started Twitter.
Oh, yeah.
Follow me at C.W. Preston.
C.W. Preston. C as in cat, W as in west.
Waterfall.
Wild Wild West. W as in Wild Wild West. And Preston as in I Preston my face, fist to your face.
And the other is recently got an invite to start writing some reviews for an iPad blog, iPad and Gravy. Ooh. So I'm looking forward to doing some things there too. I followed him for a little while on an RSS feed, really well written blog, and I'm looking forward to contributing to them.
It's iPadandgravy.com.
I don't know if that's the name of the website. Like I said, I found them via a Google blog search, so I never actually went to the website. But even without my contribution so far, it's pretty well written. I've enjoyed the reviews, and I'm looking forward to it.
I'm looking it up right now. It is Gravy, iPadandgravy.com?
Yes.
N Gravy. So it's iPadNgravy.com.
Yeah.
Huh. Oh, and by the way, speaking of that, Best Buy confirms they will sell the iPad 2 on March 11th as well. So.
Not to me, they won't.
Cool. All right. So so you're going to be writing for them then?
I'm going to be contributing a few articles.
Awesome.
In the near future, hopefully. So, like I said, I look forward to it.
Their catchphrases are our two favorite things, iPad and gravy.
And who doesn't like gravy?
It's no bacon. I'm going to start a competing site.
You can have bacon gravy.
I'm going to start a competing site called iPad and bacon. Ooh, Android and bacon.
Yeah.
There we go. All right. And for me... well, you can follow me at John Boutel Or no, Jay Boutel. Or am I John Boutel? I always forget. What am I on Twitter? Anybody?
Booty Man.
Booty Man. Jay Boutel is what I think I am. Yes, Jay Boutel. That is my... It's sad that I don't even know what my own Twitter handle is. By the way, I think John Boutel will go to my arch nemesis, John Boutel.
The evil John Boutel.
Yes, he lives in San Francisco.
Is he the one with the goatee?
He's shorter and yeah, he's more frail.
All evil twins had to have a goatee.
You are John Boutel.
Oh, am I?
Yeah, you're John Boutel.
Awesome.
At least that's who I'm following. Some guy named John Boutel.
Hold on. Oh, yeah, I am John Boutel. J-O-N-B-O-U-T-E-L.
Ay-ay-ay.
Have another drink.
Or two.
I'm smart. I'm is smart.
S-M-R-T smart.
S-M-R-T.
If you go to twitter.com/JBoutel, that's where you'll find my arch nemesis.
So send everybody to your arch nemesis. All three listeners go to the arch nemesis.
Yeah. He's much more successful than I am. I think I might be his arch nemesis. I'm not sure. I don't even think he knows I have an arch. He has an arch nemesis. Anyway, what else do we have going? Of course, as Serv said, go to the listserv.theuniquegeek.com. And
I appreciate that you guys named that after me. So,
and also, I have a film credit coming up here for. The next box set of what do you call that? Mystery Science Theater.
Are you going to spell your name right this time?
That is still up for debate. But I did film the special features that are in the next version of, well, in the last version too, box set of Mystery Science Theater. This time,
No, that wasn't you in the last version. That was someone else. It was probably your nemesis.
Yes, it was
I mean, I was the only one they spelled correctly.
It was John Boutel spelled incorrectly, yes. Anyway, so look for that coming out in, I think next week, actually. That'd be box set number 20 of Mystery Science Theater. And I did the filming for, and audio for the, what is it? Servo, Tom versus Tom. Panel, Tom Servo versus Tom Panel. Tom Servo panel. At Dragon Con last year. So there you go.
Longest outro ever.
Oh god, I know. I am horrible at this. I'm horrible at a lot of things. And Ron says he has nothing, so he's gotta go. But I
And he left like 10 minutes ago.
Yes, I know.
When you started your outro.
Shut up.
Brevity.
All right, guys. Until next time. Peace? In the Middle East.
This has been a production of The Unique Geek. To leave a comment or suggestion, call us at 833-210-TUG or email us at thegeeks@theuniquegeek.com. Follow The Geeks on Twitter @TheUniqueGeek. Visit our listserv at listserv.theuniquegeek.com. This podcast is distributed under a Creative Commons share alike non-commercial license.